And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Blacktop Podcast, otherwise known as the Off Top Podcast. I'm here with the guest of the podcast, legend of winning. Say what's up, man.
With the guest? Bro, I'm the main character, bro. I'm the protagonist. I'm player one. I'm Mario, you're Luigi. That's what I am. That's what this is right now, yo. What's up to all my... You had one game that was kind of okay, I guess. But Mario's, obviously, he's player one, my guy. Like, chill out, bro. All
right, go ahead. Introduce yourself, man.
What up, podcast people? One and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Lo. Thank y'all for joining us with another episode of the Off Top Podcast. And let's make it a good one, you know what I'm saying? Let's make it a good one, man.
Yes, indeed. So,
let's make it a good one, man.
All right, Lo. You done?
That's too much? Too hard?
So, Lo, man, I know. The people listening are going to be like, Lo, you just can't stop, can you? Lo put out a tweet, said, "Listen, guys, I've been holding back for as long as I can remember, but I'm about to go off on this team." And, of course, he was talking again about the Timberwolves. Lo, how could you be holding back, my guy, if this all you... I know you said it already.
No, because the next step is calling Wiggins a bust.
That's basically called him that on the podcast.
No, I haven't called him a bust yet. But, like, Wiggins be looking suspect. I mean, we're now at a point where we're not even expecting nothing from Wiggins but to score. Like, the fact that, like, he's struggling to do that. We're beyond the fact that he's not going to be a great three-point shooter. Okay, all right, fine. You should work on that, but okay. We're beyond the fact that he's not even playing defense, despite the fact that he has the athletic tools. Okay, all right. I guess we're going to get beyond that as well. But, bro, like, you playing 40-plus minutes, you giving me 18 points? Man, I can go get that from J.J. Redick, bro. Come on, you need to get your shit together, Wiggins, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on. But also, in my tweet, I was like, Towns, nigga, play defense. Like, I don't know what they be doing. Like, it just be looking crazy.
Yeah. But you mentioned that on the pod already, bro. You said if they don't make the playoffs, then you can get to that point. But there's no point. Like, why you keep bringing it up, bro?
As for people out there who don't know, we're recording this video as they just lost to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Now, that's bad, because Memphis
a team that's not even trying to make the playoffs. Like, how are you losing to that team?
I think Memphis is the worst team in the league. So that's not a good look when you lose to that team, no matter what the reason. That's a team you beat. Even if Cat and Wiggins aren't playing, you should be beating that team by at least 10. That's that team.
And the Timberwolves couldn't even score 100 points, despite the fact that Jeff Teague put up 25 points. And Jeff Teague shot like 54% from the field. He went 10 for 10 from the free throw line, and they still couldn't score 100 points. All I'm saying, bro, like, I'm going to sit here. You don't know about that lockdown Memphis defense. I'm going to sit here and lay down this groundwork, and I'm going to just let Wiggins and Towns, they're going to be setting up their own grave. Like, that's all that's going to happen. That's going to happen, bro.
Good news for them is, well, at least for Wiggins, he has the bag already, all right? Carl Anthony Towns hasn't retrieved the bag just yet, you know? He's still on his rookie contract.
Which low-key makes Wiggins overpaid. Wiggins is one of the most overrated players in the NBA right now.
I think he'll fit into his contract by the second half of it. But as of right now, obviously, he's not delivering the type of performance you'd expect from a guy who's getting paid that much. That's obvious.
Bro, he need to be filling in whatever role he's supposed to be filling in right now, bro. It don't make no sense that Simmons and Embiid are that great and Towns and Wiggins are struggling this much, bro. That's crazy. That makes no sense.
Yeah. So, talking about Embiid and Simmons, lo, Markelle Fultz is back for the first time since, like, sometime in October, I believe. And... Yep.
He didn't look that bad, too. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to do it because I was on stream. So, what did you see in that game? What's the chemistry going to look like for that team, bro? I don't know how well he's going to fit in, but all the reports are saying that, of course, the expected. They're excited that he's back. All the players are ecstatic that he's finally back from injury. And hopefully, how was his free throws? Can we talk about that first? Was his free throws booty butt cheeks?
I don't remember him getting to the line that often, but before we kind of get caught up in the hype, let me be a Debbie Downer. Let me put things in context here. He didn't start, came off the bench, went against bench players for majority of the night, also matched up against the Nuggets, one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA, and he only played a handful of minutes. But with that being said, he looks really great within the minutes that he played. He looked really comfortable. His shot was still kind of weird, but it was still falling. So I'm a huge believer in your shot form doesn't really matter unless two things. One, it makes you a one-dimensional scorer, which I'm fearful of Lonzo because he can't shoot when he's driving right. Or two, it's not going down. But if it's going down and you're still finding ways to score the way that you're able to score, regardless of your shot form, I really don't care. So, Markelle Fultz, as long as he feels comfortable out there and he finds his way with the team, that's fine. Another thing to also be not really concerned, because you brought up chemistry. They really didn't play that many minutes on the floor with one another. If I'm not mistaken, I don't even think Fultz and Simmons played together at all. So they still have to figure out that aspect. But if Fultz can be a player, at least for this postseason, coming off the bench, giving them, you know, 15 quality minutes, I mean, why not, you know?
I disagree with that jump shot stuff you said. Like, as long as it works type thing. Because there's fundamental disadvantages to having a bad form or an unconventional form in a lot of cases. You know, there's not much innovation to be done in the form of thinking of creative jump shots, right? Players like Sean Marion shoot so close to the chest, it's easy to contest. And then he has to jump higher to shoot the ball. Then there's all this balance.
But I said that too. If it makes your scoring ability,
but it will. Just it's one not dimensional. Like if
it but will it, it, make it didn't though. It didn't though for Fultz. It didn't actually.
Looks from fine. Like this tiny sample size we've seen. I'm saying just generally speaking.
I said that too.
Anyway, Lo, just on a side note, who has the most beautiful release in the NBA? Not the best shooter, just who has the most beautiful one?
I think Clay does.
Oh, okay. I was debating between Paul George or Steve Nash, but
you just said in the NBA. You didn't say NBA.
Like in history, okay? Same thing.
Jesus Christ!
Does that change your answer?
I'm not going. No. I'm just gonna stick with the NBA right now and say Clay still. Also, I know we're not trying to talk about Steve Nash, but I've had way more conversations about Steve Nash.
No, stop. And
I'm starting to get stuck in my ways, man. Like I'm really close to having, like, if I have like one or two more conversations about Steve Nash, I might actually make a Steve Nash is overrated video. I might actually do it, bro. Like, because I'm just getting to the point where I'm just like, bro, y'all really think Steve Nash is this good? That's crazy.
Lo, just to let you know, I told the people on the last podcast to send me an email to callmeagent00@gmail.com. They were sending me emails telling me you know nothing about basketball, Lo. Listen, Lo, I'm just telling you what they told me, right?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that don't mean that they right. I mean, that's on them. I mean,
nah.
I'm not going to lie. I've been right about a lot of things, bro. There's definitely some things I've been wrong about. But there's been a lot of things that I've been right about, yo. I'm impressed with myself.
You're impressed with yourself, Jesus, man. The ego on this one here, man. The ego on this little. All right, Lo. So Fultz is back in the lineup. It seems like, and honestly, I think this makes the 76ers that much more of a threat. I mean, for me, just looking at the Eastern Conference and the current playoff picture, and there's only about like 10 games left, right? There's not too many games left.
It's not that many games at all.
I feel like if you're a top four seed, the team you really don't want to play is the 76ers, because I feel like they have too much to offer. I mean, I think previously, if you asked me, like, 2 months ago, I'd have been like, yo, give me the 76ers, man. I want to destroy these guys. But just looking at the way the East is shaping up, man, the Heat looking like they might make the playoffs, the Pistons just totally bombing.
The Heat, y'all should be fine with the Heat.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second round matchup that everyone should be concerned about, like you said, is the 76ers. But I still feel like they have so many flaws in their game that I don't really see them as that much of a threat. I think y'all should still be able to beat them in about five or six. I don't think that's a close 6-7 series. No, definitely not.
But yeah, I thought it would be interesting. Shout out to Markelle Fultz. Got all that criticism early in his career. Can be tough to fight through, but
yeah, he still has a long way to go though. He still has a long way to go.
Yeah, of course.
He looks great tonight, but he still has a long way to go because it's still hard to kind of judge him defensively. It's still kind of hard to judge him how he's going to mold well with the other two stars on that roster. So I mean, it's still a lot of more things I got to say before I can definitively be on the Markelle Fultz bandwagon. But I mean, it's right step in the right direction, I guess.
So have you been watching March Madness?
No, I can't stand college basketball, bro.
Okay, I don't watch it either. But people have been tweeting me, Lo. People have been tweeting me. And I can't keep getting these messages, Lo, from people saying, like, yo, this player right here is, like, he's going to be a future all-star because of his performance in the March Madness tournament. I mean, do you remember Shabazz Napier? Like, he had that phenomenal performance and won the whole thing, and then he was drafted, like, 25th or 26th or something to the Miami Heat. And then, like, 2 years later, like, where is that guy? I know he's still in the NBA. Did he play for the Pelicans now or something? I lost track of where he was. I'm just trying to say, and Kemba Walker did the same. Like, Kemba Walker killed it in there, but he did. People keep trying to say that college success translates to NBA success. And a lot of people that are making their projections on where they think these high school or college athletes are going to be are always so wrong all the time, but they continue to make the predictions, and the hype continues to be built. And Lo, you dropped that video, almost parodying the one and only Mike Krzemba, and talking about why you disliked his video talking about Lonzo Ball was going to be the next, or he said the next Curry. Was it the next Curry?
He said Lonzo Ball was supposed to be the next Curry with a 40-inch vertical. I don't know. Like when I was like, he made that video, and he also made a video talking about how Thon Maker is going to break the NBA or something. Like I was like, you gotta chill out.
He timed that one around the time in the, like, I remember Thon Maker was hot last year. Playoffs, he did really well. So like everybody thought like he was gonna be that guy, like that super athletic, lanky type guy that was gonna tag team with Giannis. So I get it, but I want to get your opinion on it, man. Like, you're looking at these college players play.
I'm not though.
No, I'm just hypothetically speaking. Jeez. If you see a college player play, he has phenomenal stats in college. How well does that translate? I know there's statistics people say, like, if you're a 4-year player, chances are, like, who was the last phenomenal 4-year player? Was it like Tim Duncan? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I'm about to say that really doesn't. I know for a fact that rarely happens because, more than likely, there's a reason why you stayed in college for 4 years.
Yeah.
So, like, that's definitely something that I'm pretty concerned about 4-year guys. But a lot of guys who are, 2-3 years, Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell was another one, where they may not have shown that much progress or may not put up ridiculous numbers in college. I feel more comfortable with those players, actually, especially if you can get them towards the middle, towards the end of the first round, than actually some of the top 10 picks. Because even though last year's draft class, it seems like it's going to have a lot of talent and a lot of potential, there's still some players that I'm, like, we haven't, like, people not even talking about, like Jonathan Isaac, even though I know he's been injured for a majority of the season, people are still not talking about him. Like, no one's not even, like, recognizing what he's doing. Larry Markin is playing really good. However, he has moments where it's kind of suspect.
Nah. He's been playing ass ever since, like, the first half of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he has moments where he's playing good, moments where he's not playing too good. But, what I'm saying is it's kind of hard to just look at a player at the collegiate level and then try to make some comparison.
Nah, but, like, when do you start projections? Because a lot of people start to project, Like, do you watch Jalen Rose on the drafts? He's like, he just points at players and makes these weird comparisons that, like, that I think a lot of people recognize don't fit. Like, he'll be like, he'll see a light-skinned shooter, and he'd be like, that's the next Stephen Curry. That's his NBA comparison. And then he'll see, like, a dark-skinned, tough, big guy. That's the next Shaq right there. That's going to be the next future. And I'm just like, really? Really, we're just going to? And I don't know, man. A lot of people, like, base their projections off college success, and I think that's ridiculous for plenty of reasons. I mean, shout out to these college players, by the way. They're living the life, right? You know, a lot of people watch college hoops. Yeah, they are. I mean, they're not getting paid, of course.
I was about to say, how is that living the life if they're not getting paid?
Because they're on campus. Everybody knows who they are. The whole state or city they're in loves them and supports them. Right, especially for
that's
basketball.
That's not living
a
life. Being a millionaire is living a life. That's what's being
but
a
you,
life.
If you're that nice, you'll be a millionaire once you make it to the pros, right?
That's I mean, true, but you always run the risk, you know.
I mean, it's not like they're going to school anyway. They just fucking they take a class on what do they take? They take a
those are only like the really really good ones. Majority of them, they do be having to go to school for like. Like, I really got to finish school
obviously.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't know. I just feel like it's going to get worse as we get closer to the draft because people have to write columns, people have to make videos, and people who don't really watch college level basketball and they only know the NBA, they just need some type of comparison to that player to get an understanding of what type of player they are. But I mean, sometimes it's just like. Sometimes there's no comparison for that player. That player just doesn't exist in the NBA, or we haven't seen that type of player. So just explain to me what he does good and what he does bad. I don't. The whole comparison thing is just
so
that,
low.
That's terrible. I don't.
Yo, there's this funny shit I gotta share with you on Twitter, bro. So Trae Young declared for the NBA draft. A lot of people expected it, but there were some people that were disappointed. Of course, you know, the people that are fans of the team, like, yo, you're gonna leave already. Even though they knew the reality when he joined the team is he was going to leave. He wasn't going to stick around for far too long. A guy called Brandon on Twitter replied to Trae Young and said, not saying this because I'm a bitter OU fan, because ultimately it's your choice and I respect it. But in all honesty, you needed a few more years, and it showed. And I was like, yo, how are you going to tell him what's best for his career? But it got really interesting because someone replied to that, a guy called Chance. And he said, yeah, Chance. You seem to know what you're talking about. And he left a screenshot of this Brandon guy saying, my NCAA bracket is totally fucked already. Oh, well, I don't like basketball anyway. So you have this prick, right, that goes to the school who doesn't care about basketball whatsoever, that created a bracket, who's trying to advise an I was like, yo, do you know what boundaries are? Like, and the funny part is people liked his original comment. Like, yeah, you did need a couple more years. It really showed. And, like, how are you going to disrespect the player you want to keep around by saying, like, yeah, you're really not that nice, but you are, so we want to keep you, but you're still ass? I don't know. I thought it was funny. I mean, if anything, so someone needs to say something, tweet me, do something to convince me to. I needed, like, I've been trying to get into college basketball. I can't get myself to do it, man.
I can't get into college basketball because, like, literally every, well, one, the competition is just, it's just overwhelmingly trash for a lot of games. Two, every great player in college is literally there for like 1 year and then they just go to the NBA anyway. So it's like, I'm going to notice these players at one point. But three, and more importantly, I really don't want to get caught up in any hype. Like, I don't want to sit there and watch this teenager who may be one of the better teenagers in the U.S., dominate a whole bunch of other teenagers who just so happen to be good enough to get a scholarship to play basketball. Like, I don't want to watch that. And so, if they're going to be great, they're going to make the NBA eventually, and I'll catch up on them then. But from what I have seen from Trae Young, there are some flaws in his game that I think people need to stop overlooking. I don't believe they're so massive that he should have to stay another year
at Oklahoma. Maybe his turnovers? He has, like, John Wall-level turnovers.
The turnovers are crazy. I don't think he's that great of a ball handler either, especially to make that next step to the NBA level defensively. But the whole defensive thing, I've seen multiple college players not be great defenders. But really, the problem is at the college level, normally you have teams, especially the teams that don't really have any other NBA prospects, the whole entire team is really just based off of that one player. And it's easy just to manipulate the game and manipulate their numbers for them to put up ridiculous stats just because they're easily the best player on that team. And so everyone is structured around them trying to put up their numbers because that's the only way that they can really win. And that's exactly how Trae Young, that's how he plays. Like, that's how he plays. If you watch them play, it's literally just give Trae Young the ball. And if he takes a ridiculous shot, who cares? Because it's probably a better shot than what anybody else on that floor could have taken.
To be fair, to make an argument, a lot of NBA teams do that exact same thing.
a lot of them do that exact same thing. But like, even like James Harden, for example, it took James Harden a second to get to this stage of his career. So even if we're saying that Trae Young could eventually get to James Harden level, he's not going to step into the NBA doing that. You know, you see what I'm saying? And the fact that many people even believe that Trae Young, and I think it definitely has calmed down ever since he went on that stretch where he was just ripping off ridiculous numbers. Mm-hmm. But Trae Young is, he's not going to come in the NBA and be a superstar in his first, or even an all-star. I don't think he'll even be an all-star in his first 2 to 3 years in the league. However, I still think that he could go on a team that just needs a floor spacer at the point guard position that could grow as a ball handler, and they'll be fine with him being a quality starting player, and he'll have a quality career. And that, those are my expectations of him. And sure, maybe he'll be selected for an all-star here and there, and sure, he may be have a 2 to 3 year stretch where he's an all-NBA player, but I don't see him as like a star-level athlete where you could consistently have playoff runs as him being the best player on your team. No, I don't see that at all.
Well, I don't know about all that. I just like to catch up on the highlights, I guess. I can't sit there and watch all the teams, especially when you don't know nothing about the teams. You don't have any team to cheer for, nothing like that. Well, I was on the treadmill today, man, and they had some channels on there. And let me give women's basketball a chance. I'm assuming they had March Madness going on.
Dude, wait, time out. Did you see that slam dunk contest?
No, I didn't. Please, bro, I don't want to know about it either.
They had a dunk contest, and it was like the men's, and Zion just did a crazy dunk. But then there was a women's, and I think it was high school. This girl did like the most generic, like a one hand, like, you know, on 2K they got like the off two leg one hand dunk. That's basically what she did, and the whole like crowd went like, "Oh my god!" And the announcers are like, "Oh my goodness, she dunked!" And it's like, y'all are in a dunk contest. Like, obviously that's what she's going to do. But the fact that it was just that it was crazy. I'm not even trying to really get on it, like, but she was in the air long enough for her to do something else. But the fact that she just like dunked it, I'm like, bro, come on, cut the malarkey, bro. It wasn't that impressive.
Lo, I was watching these women play. When I tell you, in a matter of 5 seconds, I saw a wide open blown layup, I so quickly changed it. I had to watch tennis for the remainder of my treadmill time. I was, jeez, and that was college. That was like, they were like, damn it, man, you're supposed to be the best at in the collegiate. Oh my god, man. But you know what? To create an argument in the other direction, I did see, whose name? It was DeLon Wright. I think he blew a wide open layup like last week. It wasn't wide open, but there's a guy closing in on him. But still. Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. I had to bring that up because we were talking about college basketball, and I never knew any other situation in which this story would ever apply.
What's up? It's Justin from the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. When I was in eighth grade, I switched from wearing glasses to contacts because I liked playing the game of basketball. And ever since then, I've had to deal with getting contacts, which takes way too long. You have to sit in the waiting room for a really long time. It always kind of smells weird in there. That all changed when I found simplecontacts.com. You show them a picture of your prescription. You pick the brand of contacts that you use. You put in your address and they're on their way. And so much cheaper than going to a doctor every single time you need contacts. Took me about 15 minutes right before I left for work, and we're going to save you $30 off your first order with them at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or use the enter code almighty at checkout. That's $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or enter the code almighty at checkout. Just remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only do a test that makes sure your contacts are going to give you 20/20 vision. They don't write completely new RXs or examine eye health.
So what's going on in the NBA, Lo? What's okay? We can talk about the Raptors lost three of the last five.
We didn't because we didn't really talk about the injuries.
Who's injured?
Man, almost half of the playoff teams got a player injured on their roster.
So Curry got re-injured.
Jesus. Yeah, Curry, Clay, and Draymond, and if I'm not mistaken, even KD are going to miss an extended period of games and towards the end of the season. However, Curry's more than likely going to be out up into the conference finals. Yeah. That's how long it may be. Okay, so then that's the question. If they lose in the second round, is that acceptable?
No. Okay. No, they should make it to the finals without Curry.
The finals or the conference finals?
The finals. I would have Golden State beating Houston
without Curry wasn't there. Oh yep. No, I can't go that hard. I can't go that far.
I can.
No. But they should definitely make it to the conference finals without Curry. Curry really shouldn't have to come. Really, this is what it is. I don't even think Curry should play if Curry had to play one round, it would only be the conference finals. Because when they get to the finals, if it's the Cavs, they should still be able to beat the Cavs even without Curry.
If it's any team in the East, they should win without Curry.
Curry should not be rushed back on the court. Maybe if you want to play him for a game or two in the second round because he may be a little rusty to get him ready for the conference finals. But Curry should low-key just be able to come in for the conference finals and then immediately be done for the rest of the season and let Kevin Durant handle the light work in the finals. That's what should happen. But if they lose in the second round, bro, KD, you trash, bro. You trash.
I agree with. Well, I don't know about trash.
But he's not trash, but you know what I'm saying. It's disappointing. Yeah, it's disappointing. It's disappointing.
I agree with that sentiment there. Why are we rushing players back? Like, Kawhi was injured last year in the playoffs, but then he rushed back, even though he knew he wasn't going to. Maybe he didn't know, but everybody else knew he was going to lose that. They're not going to make it all the way to the finals and win with a 50% Kawhi. Then he re-injured himself, and he hasn't even been back yet. We have Curry, who was out, and then he came back, and for whatever reason, it feels like rushed himself. Curry made a statement to a reporter.
Yeah, Curry did rush himself. I didn't understand that either.
Curry said, at least it wasn't my ankle, which I guess is funny when you put it that way. He's taking it lightly, I guess, right? Put a smile on your face. He's injured, jeez, but he expects to be back. And he's dealt with an insane amount of ankle injuries in his career. And it seems like just when all of that was about to, like, pass by him, he finds a season where he just can't seem to be healthy.
True. And then, Kevin Love came back, so that's great. But Kyrie might be out for the rest of the season as well. If that's the case, then just pull the plug. Just pull the plug. Yeah. That's kind of dead.
Gordon Hayward and Kyrie would be out for the Celtics, a year where they had a shot at the finals. Without Kyrie, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
As well.
And then obviously Butler's still out. Kawhi, like you said, out. Boogie's out. Roberson's out. Like, almost there's an injured player on almost every playoff team in the West and then in the East. The fact that Kyrie went down at this stage of the season is kind of, that's a huge blow. That's tough.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't think it's going to adjust. I don't think it's going to really change anything. I just wanted to run it by you on the KD thing. That's all, man.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying the same thing. If KD doesn't win, then he is garbage and LeBron is definitely better. But I was like, yo, I saw KD in the finals last year, man. He could have done that shit by himself or with a whole super team, right? Yeah, he was just dropping folks off with all kinds. You remember that shot he took right in LeBron's face in the clutch and said, this is my time. This is KD we're talking about.
I agree. I agree with you. I 100% agree. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I don't know why I'm concerned and I'm doubting it. I don't know why.
Because you're used to seeing him at Golden State, and then there's all the talk about, he really ain't shit because he had to go to Golden State to do this. Individually, there's a lot of guys in that team. Like, you could take Curry, Clay, or KD, and you pushing it with Draymond, but you could build teams around these guys as a first and for some second option.
Let me correct you. You're definitely pushing it with Draymond.
I say with the first or second. You could have Draymond as second option on a team.
Let's keep it a buck. Can you really have Draymond as your second option?
I think you, like, let's say you have James Harden and then Draymond as your second best player.
I think that team will probably be what That would probably be the fourth best team.
I think they could have a 50-win season with that team.
50. Okay, I'll give you 50. That's fine.
Okay, that's fair. And I think the same goes for Klay if he's a second option on a team. Of course,
Klay and Curry,
obvious first options that are both on. So they have two first options and two second options on the same team. So you're telling me they still have a first option on the team and that they're not going to find a way to win against the seven or likely seven seed team in the... Come on, man.
I agree with you.
I'm just saying, bro, because I've seen it.
All I'm saying, and really what the argument is that if the Wolves are able to get the seventh seed and Butler comes back, what, like, that right there will kind of change things.
It won't, though, because they would still lose.
I still agree. I mean, the Wolves, I mean, they trash. So I agree, bro.
Surprisingly, like, the Timberwolves are fourth in your favorite stat of all time, offensive rating. So it's really just the defense they have to work on. So you're right. Maybe Jimmy Butler coming back would give him a boost in that department, man.
Bro, Wiggins is trash, though, so I can't even.
I can't talk about the Timberwolves no more on the podcast.
I can't keep him. I mean, you just immediately get
to Timberwolves slander. You don't even hold yourself. You just go at it, man. Like
I said, God, I told damn. You, I'm done holding back, bro.
You haven't been holding back, Lowe's. Like I tweeted at you.
I have definitely been holding back.
But you haven't, though.
I haven't? Okay. Yeah. Giannis overrated.
Giannis is... Huh?
All right, then. I've been holding back. Trust
me. No. Go ahead. The people want to hear what you have to say.
Because I'll be looking at Giannis, and I'll be like, bro, first of all, y'all shouldn't be no seventh seed in the East. That's one. Two... Defensively, he's not as great as some people try to make him out to be, especially off ball, because it's like he just loses concentration way too many times on the off ball, and he relies heavily on his athleticism to make up the ground that he decides to put himself in. It's very similar to Russ. But three, man, he has to be able to shoot. Like, it's cute to kind of believe, like, all right, he ain't got to shoot, but, bro, he got to be able to shoot. Like, he just got to. He's still a top 10 player, but I was ready for this season for him to take that next step. And the fact that they're not even...
You don't give athletes time, man. You can't give him time?
Bro, how long he been in the NBA? He been in the NBA, like, for 5 years.
No, I'm saying this season, you said he has to take a step. He had... Like, give him... He'll develop, man. It's Giannis, yo.
If you can get a three-point... He's been in the NBA for 5 years. What are we saying?
I get that, but for a long time, it was just developmental periods. The guy was super lanky. He was an entirely new country. He was a raw prospect. You know when you're playing, you know when you're playing Pro-Am and you load in with three players and then it gives you two AI players? They give you a raw prospect and an interior defender. He's a raw prospect, Lowe, so it took him a while to develop. Remember when the Raptors drafted Bruno Caboclo?
You're just talking right now.
I'm not, though, because they drafted Bruno, and then the commentators are like, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. You can make the same case about Giannis. I'm just saying, like, he's there now. We know he's one of the icons in the league. And I know
that was a stretch.
Stop. Okay. Come on. He jumped over a player this year, Low. Do you see that?
Did they lose that game?
I don't remember. I just saw a clip.
Okay, all right. I'm talking about wins and losses.
I'm talking about being an icon.
And I'm not even sitting here trying to blame Giannis for the entire team's losing because Chris Middleton, I'm checking your ass too. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
you're supposed to be bad this year.
You're supposed to be a sharpshooter. Like, you're supposed to be a shooter. Like, why are you not shooting? So no. There's definitely other people to put at blame. Jason Kidd. Very suspect as a head coach, especially offensively. That team wasn't able to do what they're supposed to do. But I'm just saying, man.
You're right.
I mean, you know.
Chris Middleton's shooting 36% this year from three.
He should be shooting nearly 40. He should be.
Yeah, no, he's shooting glass cleaner percentages. He's supposed to be a sharpshooter.
He said glass cleaner. Oh my God, stop.
You see what I'm saying, right? He's shooting the paint protector percentages, man. He shouldn't be shooting that bad, man. But I don't know. I'm tired of talking about this team, bro. They gotta do something. Until they do something, let's not bring up this Milwaukee team again, bro. Low seed in the East, just looking depressingly bad. with all the expectations set for them. Lo, you made a video recently talking about expectations, and we literally said something similar in the same in a podcast before. And I was saying, like, how are you hypercritical on certain players based on expectations that other people set for that player? Not even them. So they didn't go out in the media and say, like, guys, like Wiggins didn't come in the league like, yeah, I'm gonna be Michael Jordan. All right, just so you guys know, I mean,
how many players don't do that? I mean, I understand what you're saying. So when it comes to certain labeling,
people set the expectations.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. When it comes to saying that someone is overrated, it's kind of hard to rationalize that thought because it's not necessarily the player underperforming. It's just people and their expectations. I get that part. But like, man, like Wiggins is talented enough for him to be playing better than this. Like, I don't know. Like, that's a whole nother level. But again, I understand what you're saying with Giannis. I thoroughly understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is, if we're gonna talk about Giannis in the light in which we're talking about him, and don't get me wrong, I think he's talented enough to be put in that conversation. When his team is not winning, we have to hold him to a certain level of. We got to hold him to a standard. Like, we have to. That's just how it is.
Remember when Derrick Rose went in the media and said the New York Knicks have a big three? Well, who was it? Like him, Melo, and Joakim Noah? I forgot who. It was the most ridiculous. Was it Porzingis? It was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. He set expectations. I'm just saying, don't let Twitter set the expectations for why you start to quit. Like, I get that people, like, he's not living up to the hype a lot of people built for him, but he didn't build that hype up for himself. Like, he just plays basketball. You know, I get you could be critical. You're allowed to be critical. But I think a lot of it is aimed at people that did nothing to set the expectations that you're criticizing them for.
Again, it's not no player that's going to come out and be like, I'm the next Michael Jordan. Like, that rarely happens. Like, no one's not doing that.
Yeah, because, you know, social media is going to talk about it for the next month. And
exactly.
Then every reporter is going to be like, so the next Michael Jordan, what do you have to say about your performance? You shot 1-for-7 this game.
Exactly.
You'll have to answer to every. Nobody wants that kind of additional pressure. They already deal with enough as an NBA player. But I'm sure some think it, though. Some think it.
Yo,
you know that LeBron thinks that?
I hope LeBron doesn't think that. You said shooting 1-for-7. What's up with your man PG, bro? What's up with PG? And I know you don't like Carmelo, but what's up with PG?
I saw the tweets, man. Listen, if we know anything about... Come on, already, bro?
Nah, I'm playing. No, go what you about to say.
Part of the reason is...
Yeah, say what you about to say, because I've been saying this... You know I've been saying this for like 2 years now.
So I know, you've been saying it forever. No, actually, there was a point a couple years ago where you said, Paul George is pretty good. And then, like, the second half of the season, he started performing bad again. And you're like, yo, that guy's ass again.
But you know for a fact, especially when it comes to him being inconsistent, you know for a fact that I've been on that train for a good second now.
But I don't think this one isn't specifically. I think when he was in Indiana, a lot of it was Frank Vogel's offense. Like, it just breeded inconsistency. There was no consistent offense. And the offense was being run by George Hill, who relied on players like Paul George to score.
Oh, it didn't.
And so he wasn't consistent in Indiana.
Yeah.
But, like, Westbrook is so inefficient as a player. And we know the offense runs through him. And so a lot of the time, Paul George isn't bringing the ball. He's not running the same ISOs. He doesn't get the same focus. And so whenever there's issues on offense, I feel like the first person we should go to is Westbrook. His supporting cast, of course, Melo and Paul George have to step up and shoot.
Melo and Paul George should be good enough players to where they don't get the label of supporting cast.
Let me cut back on Melo
because Melo just trash.
But I agree
Paul
with that
Paul
statement.
George. Is a good enough player where he should not receive a label of supporting cast. And, man, we at a point in a season where you cannot be trash. Like, you just cannot struggle. Especially a team that's, like, one or two games away from sliding from the fourth seed to, like, the sixth seed. Like, it just can't happen, bro. You cannot let that happen.
They're 7-for-3 in their last 10, though.
But if we want to keep it a buck, man, look at them numbers that Russ putting up. I'm not even a fan of Russ. Russ been balling in the last like 10 games. And then as a side note, as I'm looking at this, Carmelo Anthony hasn't made a three-pointer.
Yeah, we got to talk about him.
Carmelo Anthony hasn't made a three-pointer in 7 days.
How many games have they had? Because that seems like
it. How many games have they had? 0-4 against Miami. 0-5 against Portland. And then when he made his three against Boston, the man shot 2-for-6, so he didn't even shoot great behind the arc then. This man had back-to-back games where he scored 6 points, one of which he attempted 13 shots. Bro, the last 5 minutes against Portland, it's been a while since I've seen someone that people try to label a star play that bad.
Melo not a didn't star play, no more, man.
I know, but Melo didn't play no defense. He was missing wide open threes. And then they gave the ball to him at the last second. And then they double teamed Melo. And instead of Melo kicking it back out to Russ, this man tried to take on the double team. Like, what's up with you, Melo? Like, you're not 27 no more. You're old. Just catch and shoot, bro. He tries, bro.
You're mad disrespectful right now, bro.
Am I? And then my man PG. Bro, PG shot 0-for-7 the last game and 0-for-6 the game before that from behind the arc. What are you doing, Paul George? Now, he played defense, so I give him some slack here and there. But, yo, that, bro, they can't be struggling like that, bro.
Well, I agree with that. Lo, there's like one win, like one game back separating from 4-8.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I definitely stretched it out. You know what I'm saying? I definitely gave it some sauce on it, you know?
And we know for a fact Utah is going to be in the playoffs. They've been on a phenomenal run, and ever since Rudy Gobert's been back, I think they're a lock, right? Minnesota might slide out, depending on Kawhi. San Antonio has a potential. New Orleans, like, we need to talk about Anthony Davis because they've been fantastic compared to the circumstances. They're proof for every other day we hear Anthony Davis dropped 40 points and 1,000 rebounds. You're like, how does he keep doing this? If there was ever a backpack that the whole team had to get inside, it is with the Pelicans right now. Because the type of performance Anthony Davis is putting on right now, bro. I've been waiting so long for Anthony Davis to play like this, right? No injuries, just a chance to play all season and murder it. And I hope he gets in the playoffs at a higher seed, because I think it'd be an interesting matchup if he plays at Portland or OKC. I don't know if they would win, but I think it would go pretty deep, in my opinion, bro. Yo, is Anthony Davis like, how far can he carry, Lo? Is it a second round thing, or is it just?
No, that's a first round thing, bro.
Man,
if they play the Spurs, Jazz, or Thunder, they would lose in the first round.
I'm not so sure about that, man.
If Rudy Gobert is guarding Davis, I don't think he's getting off like that. And I think the other two in the Spurs are just so defensively sound that they'll be able to concoct some type of defensive scheme while still being able to keep up offensively with them as well. And in the Thunder, I just think they have more stars. I don't see how he can beat any team in the first round out of those three. And if they slide to 6 and they play Dame and CJ in the first round, bro, that's dead.
I think they have a better chance against Portland than
you're crazy, man.
OKC. You're crazy. For whatever reason, man.
Yeah, you're crazy, man.
Anthony Davis is getting career highs in points, three-point percentage, in field goal percentage, and he's shooting a higher volume of threes, shooting about 2.3 per game. That's impressive, man. Yeah,
he's playing. Don't get me wrong. He's playing great.
No, but I'm saying, like, you said a name like Rudy Gobert. I think he could stretch Rudy Gobert out and provide.
Nope. Couldn't do that. Nope.
I think he could.
Nope.
And, of course, defensively.
Pause. You just said stretch Rudy Gobert out.
That's not a pause, bro.
That is a pause.
All NBA players get stretched out before games.
Pause.
I'm saying, like, they have a trainer, and then they do stretches. But, like, it's just a fact, though. It's not a pause.
Also, I see what you're saying, but for CJ and Dame are going off if they play Portland in the first round. There's no one on that team that can defend those two.
If they play Portland, my God, they can't play them. You mean the practice team? Is the practice team going to come in and play a game?
What do you mean?
You just said CJ and Dame would go off if they played Portland in the first round, man.
We talking about the Pelicans, right?
You said CJ and Dame would go off if they played Portland in the first round.
Okay, what are you missing?
Oh my God. They are Portland, man. They can't play themselves.
CJ and Dame would go off if they, hence the Pelicans, they are the Pelicans.
Oh, you mean the Pelicans, they.
You're like, where are you at?
You gotta use, you gotta use a better, is it a pronoun?
We're talking about the Pelicans.
Yeah, but you said they after mentioning CJ and Dame, so it's assumed. This is just grammar stuff, Lo, but keep going, man.
No, stop. It's common sense we're having this conversation. All I'm saying is that I think Anthony Davis is great, but I don't think he's that great. You know what
I'm saying? I don't know if he will neither. I think I have a little bit more faith that he'll pull through than you do. But
he's not that great.
I'm just saying a team can't stay hot forever, Lo, right? Eventually there's gonna be some cold that comes with that. Just like the seasons, man. So
Well, first of all, it's mad cold in Atlanta right now. It's almost April. I know to y'all it's not that cold. But like the fact that I'm still wearing long sleeve shirts. And it's the end of March, bro. That's crazy. So that's one. Two, speaking of cold streaks, the Denver Nuggets look kind of trash. I'm not going to lie to you right now. I don't know why they're playing that bad, but they're playing really, really bad.
So what about the Denver Nuggets specifically? I know you said their defense is kind of sus.
I feel like we already talked about them, but like defensively, they're sus.
Not really, but
and Jokic, barely. Jokic, overrated, bro. You're overrated.
You're pushing it, Lo. Come on, man. You might be trying to get sound bites, Lo.
Are we everybody just literally just busting a nut every single time Jokic averages or he puts up like 6 assists but don't recognize that he ain't playing defense?
What do you mean, man? Are we watching the same guy?
Yes. Like when I go on Twitter and I hear people talk about Jokic, just like, oh my God, look at the passing ability from the 7-footer, and it's like, all right, but he's a 7-footer that doesn't play defense. He's a big that doesn't protect the rim. He's a big who can't even stay on the floor for more than 30 minutes because he doesn't have the stamina, and they don't play him in the fourth quarter because of defensive purposes.
He's a 20-12 player. He shoots 40% from the 3-point. Like,
What does he do defensively?
All right, not every player has to be a defensive messiah.
No, you're right. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a defensive liability, that's a problem.
No, I'm just saying build around him so that you can compensate for his deficiencies.
Or just become a better defender. That's it.
Right, that's what I was going to say next. Or find a trainer that can develop him in the areas that he's worth at.
Just give a fuck on the defensive side. That's all you got to do.
It's not just giving a fuck, Lo. Have you ever played basketball?
Watched him play?
I have watched him play.
Oh, no. It's a lot of times where he's just, like, standing next to the rim and he's like...
Oh, no. I know. Trust me. But he's a better defender. He's a better defender than Jonas. And I have to sit there and watch Jonas play.
Oh, that's tough. I'm kind of disappointed in Jonas.
Me too. I was watching Poeltl get some blocks against the Clippers the other day. And I was just thinking to myself, why do we have Jonas? Why do we just put in Poeltl? Like... What's up? What's going on here, man? I know offensively, like, Jonas has a little bit of a mid-range that gives him... Jonas has the meanest pump fake in the NBA.
It's probably the NBA's greatest secret right now.
It is. You drop a video on his pump fake, Lo, because I don't know how he gets guys to jump for his three-point shots, even though everybody knows he can't shoot threes.
He fell for the pump fake, and I'm like, man, Dwight, you're better than that. Like, come on. Like, you're not about to fall for a pump fake from a non-shooter. Like, why are you even falling for that?
So, Lo, what I'm saying is, Jonas is the guy that's big who gets the most minutes on the Raptors, but the Raptors are one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. So,
this is the Raptors. You know what I saw? Y'all are not.
What do you mean?
I take that back. Y'all are. But when y'all play teams with, like, top-tier offensive teams, y'all are trash defensively.
Like, yeah, what a fucking retard. Lo, that's the statistic you came out with?
Whoa. Let me calm down. Calm your tits now.
They're so calm right now.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
Are you going to continue?
Against top 10 offenses in the NBA, the Raptors have the second worst defense behind the Cavs.
That's what top 10 offenses do, Lo. They shred through defense. But
second worst, agent?
What that mean, Lo?
It means that when you're in the playoffs, you're more likely going to face teams that are really well-rounded offensively. And so if you're going to be in the playoffs and facing good offensive teams, but you have you've shown no signs of stopping really good offensive teams, you might have a problem in the playoffs.
We'll see. I doubt the Raptors will have a defensive issue. Forever, their issue has been offense. And it seems like they've had that problem solved. Defensively speaking, just watching the games, they do a great job. The only person, the only two players is Jonas and DeMar DeRozan, of course, who aren't good defenders. But they do a good job of compensating with players like Norman Powell. I know CJ Miles has been getting a lot of minutes. He's decent on the defensive end, a great offensive player. I know we're talking about Jokic.
I'm happy you bigging this up because if y'all underperform, bro, I'm frying them, bro.
I know, Lo. You don't take any time to consider or give time for reconciliation.
Consider for what? No. There's no time to consider. There's no time to consider. If they underperform this year in the playoffs, bro, I'm cooking them the next day. Matter of fact, but I might be making a video that night.
What's underperform, Lo? What is that?
Bro, if y'all get knocked out in like the first round or y'all get knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, obviously. Right, Come on, man.
Y'all get knocked out in the second round in like 5 or 6 games, bro, I'm frying y'all.
Yeah, anybody should. They're a first seed. That shouldn't happen.
Okay, all right.
That's obvious.
As long as we know that. As long as we know.
So just bringing it back to the point, all I was really trying to say is the Raptors are solid defensively and just you gotta do a good job. Like, they got Millsap back, right? Isn't Millsap supposed to be a defensive player?
Millsap, I said that in the beginning. Again, I said this last week. I said in the beginning of the season, I didn't expect the Nuggets to make the playoffs. And I watched Millsap his last year in Atlanta. And Millsap, even though I'm not saying Millsap is a trash defender, but he's not as good as a defender as he was like 3 years ago. He's an older player. So I don't know why people thought that Millsap was going to be. And even during his prime, he wasn't a good enough player defensively to make up for the flaws defensively for other players. So I don't know why people thought that, like, Millsap was going to come on that team and be a defensive savior for one of the worst defenses in the NBA. That was crazy.
Okay. Very, very interesting predicament. It does seem like a Houston Rockets-esque team the way you look at the roster. That shit is all offense.
Nothing but offense. Yeah.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, I think they're top 5 in, let me double check real quick.
Top 5 in offense?
Nope, they're not. But I think they're top 10, I don't know, man. I'm not going to lie to you, though. I hold a little bit of bias for the Nuggets because my man Jamal Murray is on there, bro. Dropping 19 points per game, getting me all excited.
Well, next year, not this year, but next year. He's going to have to start playing defense. We got to keep raising the bar.
No, he doesn't. Come on,
no,
man.
No, we have to keep raising the bar. We have to.
I mean, yeah.
How about that? Right, he's only 20. Give him another year. But Gary Harris is 23.
21 is when Lo decides whether you're going to be a bust or not.
No, here's my rule about that. 4 years in the NBA, you are who you're basically going to be. Now there are obviously some outliers here and there. Don't get on your Steve Nash high horse like you love to do. But like for the most,
they're sixth in offensive rating, by the way, Denver Nuggets. Keep going.
For the most part, though, 4 years in your NBA career, you are who you're more likely going to be.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. With all my heart, I disagree.
I mean, I know you're going to talk to me about Steve Nash, but I don't really want to hear that right now.
Do you remember Steve Nash, Lo?
Phase.
How long did it... Nah, you make a point. I just push it back like a year, mae two, before I...
Six
before I
years? Finished. Oh, no.
Yeah, because by 6 years, if you haven't done it, like, yeah, you're like... That's like, whatever, bro. Just get your bag. You're in the NBA. You're still a phenomenal player because you're in the greatest league in the world. Super exclusive. Very hard to do.
Still a phenomenal player. Oh, my God.
They are.
You just throw that word around so casually.
No, bro, because I've seen like, it's so hard to get into the NBA.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that, but, like, we're talking, obviously, we're talking in the context of NBA players, so.
I'm talking in the context of basketball players.
I guess, Asian. I mean, that's what
like, you're... Like, if Brian Scalabrine...
If that's how you want to lower the bar, I guess.
No, let's say if Speedy Gonzalez pulled up to your nearest wreck, he would destroy everybody, man.
I thought you were about to say Speedy Claxton. I was like, oh, you know who that is? That's crazy.
Yeah, I do, man. He used to play for Atlanta, right?
He did used to play for Atlanta. You're right about that.
I know, bro. I played basketball games. How I learned all the players and shit, bro. I remember that. NBA Live, baby.
Played basketball games, head ass.
Oh man. You get what I'm trying to say, though.
That's what you're saying.
Anyway, hopefully the Nuggets' offense is enough to keep him in there. I'd love to see that team. Honestly, I feel like if there was any potential for a sweep, it might be the Nuggets in the playoffs. But I do think it'd be still nice to see them in the playoffs. I definitely don't want San Antonio to be kicked out if I had to choose a team.
I must say, I don't want to see the Nuggets in the playoffs because they would get swept.
So, look, what's happening with the Clippers, man? Is it a GG for them? I just saw Lou Williams light up my Raptors the other day. He was a dead-ass looking like Russell Westbrook back when they had KD running that high pick and roll and jumping, doing like fading middies at the free throw line. I'm telling you, it was Westbrook. Is that team have a chance? People aren't talking about them, but they're only like a couple games back from a playoff spot.
Yeah, they are. They're only two games back, but it's a GG. However, Jerry West is looking pretty good right now as he stepped in that situation because they got that that Detroit Pistons pick, which might actually be something of quality the way that the Pistons are playing. And not only that, if they're able to kind of finesse, because I don't think they're going to keep DeAndre Jordan. I don't think there's any purpose to keep DJ. If they're able to pull off a sign and trade with the team, especially a team that DJ is willing to go to.
Stop.
No, I mean, like, kind of, not exactly because Chris Paul still had a year on his contract, but similar to what they did with Chris Paul, where DJ goes to a team, he's like, I want to play for this team, but they don't have the salary to pay me, so we need to do a sign and trade. I think that would be fine. That would actually be really good if they're able to do that.
Those are very rare. When was the last sign and trade? I don't remember. It's been a really long time, especially on a star in the league. He's a star. I need to be cautious about some of these titles I'm playing.
Yeah, you definitely been throwing around a couple of titles already.
yeah, I need to relax with that real quick, man. Yeah, I think I'm not ready to rule them out yet.
I'm ruling them out. Yeah, I'm ruling them out.
Honestly, if Denver or Clippers sneak in, you think Denver stands a better chance? Honestly, I think the Clippers are playing better basketball than Denver.
Oh,
and
they are.
And so Minnesota's, of course, recent struggles, 4-6 in their last 10. It wouldn't be crazy to see Minnesota drop out and the Clippers go on a neat little run. They beat the Raptors the other day. That's some of the momentum they needed going forward. I'm just saying it'd be cool to see Lou Williams try and carry a team. Because I remember when he was with the Raptors, got sixth man of the year, and the Raptors didn't want to re-sign him. There'd be a little bit of payback right there.
I don't want them to be in the playoffs. I want the eight teams that are in the playoffs in the West. I'm fine with those eight teams. And then the eight teams in the East, I'm fine with those as well. If there's another team that I might want in the East, maybe the Hornets. But I think the eight teams that we have in there are fine right now. I think we're fine.
Anyway, their next two games are the Bucks and the Suns, so they definitely have a chance to make a cool little run here.
That is true.
What's the word around the street, Lo? You're in the NBA community, right? You receive a lot of comments.
Yeah, you be saying some really corny stuff, bro.
I'm just asking, bro. Like, what's the word around the street?
The word in my comment section is that you know nothing about basketball.
And
someone actually told me in my comment section that you have to stop comparing players to their NBA 2K ratings. That's what someone said, told me.
I hate when people say that shit because those same players compare players to other, so they'll for example, they'll see a player like Ben Simmons and they'll compare him to Giannis, and that's perfectly fine. But the second I give him an actual rating on a scale of 0 to 100 on the overall I think he is, then it's reckless. But if you make relative comparisons to other real people, that's not equally as stupid. In fact, less stupid. Because I have a scale, Lo. The overall system is a real scale, right? And it measures talent based on a series of attributes and tendencies. What they're attributing and what they're comparing people to is another person. You can't create a scale of individuals. That's like a network. It doesn't work out. You need numbers, right? The overall system is... If you got a problem with the overall system, you might be a salty NBA Live fan, man. I'm just saying, like, this is the only reason you'd have a problem with that. And even then, NBA Live has overalls, too. Just a lot less accurate than 2K. If you've seen some of the overalls in NBA Live, though, it's ridiculous. Like, they have some players rated so high, you're like, how? And vice versa.
Real quick.
And you never answered the question, by the way.
What's the question?
What's the word around the street?
I'm about to say right now. Donovan Mitchell or Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons? That's the question.
Yep, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. I don't think it's obvious. I don't think it's obvious, but I feel the same way. And I know people are gonna sit here and tell me about the assist and rebounds that Simmons records. To me, it's just more impressive that Donovan Mitchell's on the team that's in the playoffs, and he's clearly the best player on that team. To me,
nah,
he is.
Okay, pump the brakes. Rudy Gobert is the best.
Okay, so let's say hypothetically the roles are reversed, and Simmons missed the same amount of games. Not Simmons. Let's say that Donovan Mitchell missed the same amount of games that Rudy Gobert missed. Would they be in the playoffs?
The hypothetical is uneven because if there was that injury, they likely wouldn't have gave up Rodney Hood. So,
okay, even if they kept Rodney Hood, would they be in the playoffs?
I think so.
No, I disagree.
They were performing well last year, and they had to deal with injuries last year as well. You remember that?
Okay, what are you saying?
So I'm just saying they lost Gordon Hayward. It was an opportunity for what everybody thought Rodney Hood to step up, but it ended up being a Donovan Mitchell situation. I'm going to make the waviest of transitions here because I think we know the answer to that question is Donovan Mitchell. People keep talking about Terry Rozier, man. Like a player who was at the bottom of the rotation.
It's just a system. That's it, man.
I'm just saying what the Celtics fans have been telling me on Twitter.
Let me tell those Celtics fans, it's the system. That's it. It's not even really a knock on Terry Rozier. It's just that system, in my opinion, it's now pretty clear that it heavily helps, you know, point guards because they allow them to kind of run that offense. But here's what people don't want to tell you: out of Terry Rozier's last six games, he's only had one game in which he shot over 40%.
Yeah, that's kind of like that's a skewed statistic, bro, because the second you go past six games, the numbers look a lot different.
Okay, all right, how far back you want me to go?
You can go like the last month.
It's only, okay, I'll just go a month. All right, fine. It's not that many games in a month. In the last month, he's shooting on average 44%. And yeah, that's with two games. It's really three games that are heavily influencing his average because he has only three games in which he's shooting over 40%. Only three. Out of the 10 games in the last month, he only has three games where he's shooting over 40%.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it too, bro. I'm not going to lie, bro. It's reminding me a lot of Brandon Jennings right now.
Exactly.
Ooh, but he's a young player.
Shout out to Brandon Jennings for being back in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Terry Rozier is a young player. Honestly, I don't expect him to come out efficient scorer.
He's fine.
But the team is doing a good job of, honestly, like, there's a chance they pass the Raptors for the first seed. Raptors lose their last three or five.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not going
to happen. Celtics won the last three. I'm just saying, like, it would have to be a lot of stuff going down. But part of it is Terry stepping up and making some plays, man.
But a lot of it is just Brad Stevens being the best coach in the NBA.
Pop, second best.
Okay, I guess we're still playing that game where Popovich is the best coach.
He's the best. Yep. Okay. It's not a game. It's just.
I guess we're still playing that game, huh? Where he's still the best coach, right? Okay. All right.
How is that a game, yo?
When is the last player that has played well under Pop? Kawhi. What other prospect has gone to that team and actually played great?
Simmons played great. Who was that giant player? Was it Marjanovic? He played great before leaving to the Pistons and playing like cheeks. They have DeJounte Murray as a prospect, and he's been coming up recently.
Coming up how? What are you saying?
Like, he's been getting more minutes. The guy's performing well.
Just because he's getting more minutes, that doesn't mean that he's... What are you saying?
Man, don't make me pull up the stats, Lo.
Yeah, pull him up.
You can make me.
Pull him up.
All right, you can make me pull out the stats on this. DeJounte Murray, I know, was one of the potential players. Barely got a chance to get minutes because he was sitting behind Tony Parker.
What is his numbers, agent?
Yeah, just give me some time, Lo. So... so far this year,
mm-hmm. What are his numbers?
Yeah, you know what, Lo? You know what, man?
What are his numbers?
Yeah, you know what, Lo? We can move on to the next topic.
Exactly.
I'm playing. I'm wilding right now. No, he actually has decent stats. So he's averaging 8 points per game in 20 minutes, and he's shooting 44%.
Okay.
Yeah. The only problem is he can't really shoot threes, though.
So at all. His downfall. He doesn't even attempt threes.
Yeah, because he can't shoot them.
that's sad. What I'm saying is Kyle Anderson is not as good as I think a lot of people expected him to be. Even though I know he was like a late first round pick, I think a lot of people are still like, oh my god, what a steal! Like that one of those things. And I don't know what's going on with Danny Green, but Jesus Christ, I know he's shooting a lot of threes, but I mean, Jesus, that makes no sense at all. And then Rudy Gay. He's been off and on this entire season as well. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of...
But, just look at the roster for a second, Lo, and tell me that this is not the greatest coach in the NBA that could somehow keep these guys in the playoffs, even though Kawhi hasn't been here the whole time, man. Tell me that's not the greatest coach.
I agree with you, but it's not like the... And obviously, they haven't been doing it for as long as a period. What am I trying to say? They obviously haven't been doing it as long as the Spurs have, but look at that Celtics team, especially once you take Kyrie off that team. What are we talking about?
They have a lot of talent, bro. They have Al Horford,
Brown. Who's better, Al Horford or LaMarcus?
LaMarcus.
Okay, then. So what are we saying?
But that's the only way. That's the only thing the Spurs win at, because LaMarcus is a great player. That's all they have outside of Kawhi right now. Like, just to put it into perspective, Lo, there's no one on the team shooting over 40%. The highest is Bryn Forbes at 38%. I'm not going to count Derek White. The guy shot like 2 threes all year. He has like a 61%.
You mean 40% from what?
From three.
Okay, from three. Okay. So, I think you were going to say from the field. I was like, Jesus.
So you'd expect players like Danny Green, even players like Tony Parker have had better percentages throughout their career.
But Tony Parker's not a three-point shooter.
But I'm saying he's shooting 22% this year, Lo.
But he's not
like,
he's even done a lot better. He's not even attempting a shot, and he's only playing 20 minutes. Calm down, agent. Just calm down.
I understand. I'm just saying, like, they don't have the type of spacing that they would... I'm just saying that if he could pull it off, even though his team is performing like this, don't even go nowhere with, like, he's not the best coach, man. Come on, bro. How many coaching... Like, you could say, like, half the coaches in the NBA have at one point been in the Popovich system. Like, he's just... You know, especially last year.
What have they done?
They've become head coaches in the league.
Okay, all right. You're right.
Not everyone's going to succeed. It's not like you're... You came under Popovich, you're an immediate all-star, you know? But I'm just saying, you know. Brad Stevens is definitely like...
But Brad Stevens is going to win Coach of the Year. I don't think.
I mean, if it's Pop's last year, I'm not going to lie. Some sentimental value involved. We might have to swing it one way, you know? Just his last year is like a farewell present. You see what I'm saying, right?
Very true. Oh, yeah, real quick. Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker?
Devin Booker.
If Donovan Mitchell next year averages 25 points, who's better? Wow, you're silent. I like that.
Gotcha, you gotta chill with that, bro.
Got you thinking.
It was a good question, man. You know, I don't want to jump to a
I will, though. Donovan Mitchell, if he averages 25 points next year, is already better than Devin Booker. That's it.
Well, let me. I gotta do some research here.
I mean, I'll see it. I mean, I think that's pretty actual factuals. You know what I'm saying?
I disagree.
But I'll say it, though. So, there it is. I say it.
Because the Suns... come on, man. You don't need me to sit here and tell you my guy, Devin Booker, has absolutely zero... When people say people have zero health...
I'm not saying that because of the lack of team success. I'm not expecting Devin... I'm just saying,
having other players on his team that could pull their weight would benefit Devin Booker. And I think Donovan Mitchell has a team that fits his play style, that complements what he does. And so he's finding ways to succeed. Even as a rookie, it's impressive.
I agree with what you're saying. And I think if Devin Booker was on that team and the roles were reversed, I think Devin Booker would be just fine on that roster as well. I think he'd be more efficient, so on and so forth. But what I'm saying is...
More efficient?
Yeah, he would be more efficient than what he is right now. Because Devin Booker, I mean, he would definitely be more efficient, in my opinion.
You're talking about Devin Booker.
Yeah.
I mean, but they both have the same, like, around the same percentages, bro.
Well, what I'm saying is Devin Booker will be more efficient if he was on the Jazz. Because it's...
Of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But okay, what I'm saying is if Donovan Mitchell is able to put up the same points, right? Because that's really a huge gap that Devin Booker's been able to separate himself from a lot of other players, is that he's offensively very well-rounded and gifted. Defensive end, though, that's kind of suspect. But Donovan Mitchell in his rookie year defensively already looks really, really good, and I think he could grow into a great defender as well. However, if we're just talking about simply skills, if Donovan Mitchell is able to also put up 25 points, 23 to 25 points next year while still being a better defender, I don't know, man. I think it's impressive what Donovan Mitchell is doing, you know, and I don't think people...
I agree.
The way that people...
But I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like we should... We should suspend our decision to that question until further analysis, maybe sometime next year around this time. You know, because it's hard to say. It's a close one, man. Those two guys are both going to be future All-Stars in the NBA. And then I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be the greatest to ever play.
Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons.
Come on, bro. You didn't even check me. I said the dumbest shit all podcasts, and you didn't even check me on that. I'm disappointed you love
Donovan. I know, I'm about to agree with you. Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid have very good arguments for being one of the greatest players of all time. I'm just saying, bro.
Okay, you gotta be trolling now. How you trolling my troll, bro? What's wrong with you?
but they're on really good paths early in their career though. And that's
top 50.
Yeah, that's why it's impressive what they're doing. Cause you know.
So Lo, did you come out with your top 50 yet or what?
I'm almost done making it.
I thought you were done. You said you reached 50.
I did reach 50, but I had to make some adjustments with it. I'm still kind of making adjustments. Oh, okay. I think I moved Russell Westbrook down. I actually bumped Steve Nash up.
Oh, okay.
But he's still not higher than Jason Kidd, though. So,
you know. But he should be, but all right.
But he's not. I mean, come on, let's just keep it up.
All right, I mean, he should be, but he's not, right?
Did you come up with your top 10 list all time?
Lo, did you miss all of last podcast?
I'm just asking. Top 10, top 5. No, all time. Come on, bro. All time.
No. I have to do a lot of research before that. I told you it's going to take months. I told you it would take months. I don't know why you're bugging, bro.
You know what?
I don't know what's wrong with you, man.
You know what I have noticed, though? That Stockton might be overrated as well.
Yeah, you told me that like last week. Okay. You shouldn't say it on the podcast, Lo. You're going to look stupid.
No. Stockton be looking kind of suspect. Also, you know who looked kind of suspect? And it's not to say that he's not one of the top 10 greatest players of all time. Or even top 5 greatest players of all time.
I'm about to say something so crazy right now.
Kareem be looking kind of suspect, man. I'll be like, yo, how were you not making the playoffs in the 70s? Like, how do you not do that, bro? All
right, keep me informed. How many teams were there at the time? Was it 8 or 12?
Yeah, it was like a handful of teams. If I'm not mistaken, like, they were still putting in, like, 8 teams from each conference in the playoffs. There were only, like, 22 teams in the league. So there's 16 teams making the playoffs out of 22 teams, and... This man Kareem still wasn't making. There's a year where he didn't make the playoffs. I'm like, bro, like how does that happen? Like, how are you struggling that much where you can't even make the playoffs, bro?
Yo, Lo, I just know whenever you drop that video at your top 50 list, man, that's just gonna have to be accompanied by a 2-hour explanation. Cause Mads is gonna be looking at that list like, how on planet Earth is that guy so high or low? That's just gonna be hilarious, man. Yeah,
Kareem's first year with the Lakers, he didn't make the playoffs. He had a losing record. That's kind of sus.
Did you say his first year?
Yeah, with the Lakers, yeah.
Oh, with the Lakers. Because I know you judge people super early, but if you just judge the rookies
for not making... This is him at 28.
No, I know.
Okay. I was about to say.
That's interesting, man. I just, listen, the whole podcast listeners, they're going to cook you. The chat is going to cook you. And then there's going to be like 40% of individuals like, yo, this guy Lowe is the smartest individual on planet Earth. Like, this list is so accurate. I agree with all portions of this list. Oh, wow. But the other 60%, Lowe, you need to start coming up with responses immediately. Your Twitter's going to be hot, man. And then I'm definitely going to get those emails to callmeagent00@gmail.com saying, Lowe, you don't know nothing about basketball.
I don't really care about those people because I don't think those people even exist.
You want me to give me some screenshots now?
No. You fine. I mean, you want me to send screenshots? Oh my god, that sounded so suspect. Nah, you good?
That's not suspect. Yeah,
the dude died on the court. Zeke Upshaw. I forgot about
that. I actually didn't read up on that. Did you?
He died. He was playing. I think it was a G League player, and he collapsed. He just died. It's kind of like an update because at first people didn't know if he died or not. But he did actually die.
Damn.
Yeah, he did die. Yep. It's kind of
tough.
It is tough. It's sad. I wanted to get that off just because I felt like I was going to.
You have to have like some sort of heart condition, right? So like you know how Chris Bosh. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying, like, you can't just collapse unless there's something wrong with your body, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I mean this has happened before.
I mean, it almost happened with Bosch. They said the man had blood clots and he left, and Vera Joe had two instances where he had blood clots, and that's dangerous because at any moment you could just stop living. That's the reason.
Like, your heart, like Reggie Lewis died on the court. Like, he just collapsed and died. I know you don't know who that is, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this just sounds like a guy who came from the 80s.
Yeah, he played for the Celtics, and he collapsed on the floor, and he had some cardiac problems, and he just died.
Isn't that crazy? The guys that are, like, most fit, like, these are NBA players. They take care of their bodies. Like, if it could happen to them, it could happen to anybody. My fat ass is sit at home editing all day, you know, I need to hit the gym immediately. This is a wake-up call right here, Lo.
Yeah, you do need to learn a lesson from the gym because if I ever pull up in Toronto, bro, you getting low-key murdered, agent.
Lo's been pretending he's going to pull up in Toronto for the last 4 years just to
provide some context. I haven't known you for 4 years, but you got
You've known me for 4 years now, Lo. It's been 4 years. I counted.
You've been counting? You've been keeping...
Not really. I'm just lying.
No. That's not what you just said. You've been keeping up to date with our anniversary. You're sus. That's basically what I got out of it. You're sus.
Nah, but remember the first time I met you was on the AO podcast. That was like at the beginning of the season from like 4 years ago. What you mean?
I don't know. I don't feel like that was 4 years ago, but it might have been.
Yeah. Anyway, Low. Is that it, man? We can move on, bro. We can do our highlight player and get this over with.
Yeah, I feel like that is it. I don't really know if there's anything else. I feel like every single time now, we're just going to just keep talking about the playoffs until it actually happens.
That's what everybody else does. That's all there's left to do. There's 10 games left, so it's not going to be long anyway.
Or you could give us your top 10 all time.
Man, you're wilding right now, though. I told you it takes months to formulate, man.
Who's number one?
Lo, you know what's gonna be a tragedy?
No, who?
If I get on a podcast,
you know who you think is the greatest player of all time. So who is that?
Lo, if I come out with a list,
my God,
and then I find out in the future there's some stat or something I didn't look at that will change my opinion about the list, I'm gonna
agent.
Be,
just let me know who it is. Who in your opinion right now?
Donovan Mitchell.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I swear I thought you said Donovan McNabb. I was like, oh, you're better.
And Brian Dawkins, the whole safety squad. Yeah, you know how it is, man. I used to mess with the Eagles back in the day, Lo. My brother used to choose Vic when we played Madden. And I was like, I fucking hate Michael Vick, bro. Oh, man. So I'll choose like Donovan McNabb and I'll cheese with Brian Dawkins, user picks and everything. Those are the days.
Brian Dawkins used to be OD. Well, I'm about to say, yeah, he was. Nah, shout out to.
You're not gonna get the list. Just give us your highlight player,
bro. Just tell me, who do you think is number one, bro?
I can't. It's gonna spoil the list. Low, did I ask for anybody on your top 50 list?
It's not gonna. I'll say my number one is Michael Jordan. So there you go. Wow, he's gonna be quiet.
So that's it. So your highlight player, who's your highlight player?
Oh my god, my highlight player is future Rookie of the Year winner Ben Simmons.
What?
Not gonna lie, I was kind of tussling back and forth with him and Donovan, but then I saw he bagged Tinashe. I was like, that's
tough. I saw that too.
That's
Tinashe. You said it wrong. Come on, you gotta say it correct.
Bro. Wait, what's her name?
Go ahead though. Tinashe.
What'd I say?
You said Tinashe, bro. You said Tinashe.
I said Tinashe. Chill out. I know who that is.
You didn't, but keep going, man.
Yo, as soon as I saw the pictures of him bagging Tinashe, better known as Tinashe, I was like, yo. I was like, yo, this man Ben Simmons, he might have it in the bag, yo. Like, it might be done already, man. Because I said the same thing with Victor Oladipo. When Vic was able to pull up on, I can't remember what her name is now. I think her name is Breonna Miles. Where I was like, that's it. Like, he got most improved already. Like, that was it. I was like, that's done already. Vic got it.
Damn.
So.
But Embiid couldn't get Rookie of the Year, even though he was hollering at Rihanna. I see how it is.
Oh, but there really wasn't no. She could have won it last year, which is kind of suspect, but yeah, I guess.
Wow, yeah, that is. Okay, my highlight player is actually going to be Lou Williams, because for whatever reason, I got a feeling that they're going to be in the playoffs, and it's going to be because of him. He's the guy, bro.
No.
He's out of nowhere, once a sixth man, now is dominating as a point guard in the NBA, carrying a team to the playoffs. Who would have thought?
Dominating. That's a very...
He is destroying. He is a phenomenal talent.
Phenomenal.
Okay, I'm wild. Yeah, I did that purposely.
You just throwing those words. I did that purposely.
Yeah. Okay. And on that note, Lo, this is the end of the Black Top Podcast, otherwise known as the Off Top Podcast. This is the main character, Agent Zero himself. And, of course, the sidekick, Legend of Winning.
You know, I'll catch you guys in the next one. Before we go, I'm looking at this man's numbers. This man, Doc Rivers, is, like, playing this man, like, 35, 36 minutes as a bench player. Like, he's literally, like, just come off the bench and I'm going to just play you for, like, starter minutes. That is the most dumbest thing in the world. But it's whatever, man.
They did it to James Harden. They did it to Manu for a while.
36, like, though? I don't think they did it to Manu. I think Manu was still playing, like, 30 minutes. Like, this man's playing 36, bro.
No, not 36. Yeah, that's pushing it. Manu was playing a lot less than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys. Peace!
You're so corny, yo. You're corny.
Peace out, guys.
You're corny.
Hey. That's my outro now.
Honey?
In here.
Oh, you painted the ceiling.
Yep.
Blue.
Feels so much less cooped up, right?
I guess. What's the yellow paint for?
Well,
the floor needs a double line, otherwise it's chaos. Can you hand me that yield sign?
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.